prayer. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to your kings and queens in this room, Lord. Don't take it lightly, Lord. So I ask you that you would not just finish my sentences, Lord, but you be the head and you let me minister that you want to hear, not that Evelyn wants to hear, but that you want your people that would meet the needs today. So before we start off, I want to say this. I was blessed to be able to go to a, what do you call it, when people become citizens of the U.S. So I was blessed to be able to go to one of those meetings with one of the Filipino ladies that went to our church, and she was becoming a citizen of the U.S. I had never been before, and so her husband couldn't attend, and so a bunch of us ladies from the church went with her so she could have some support. Had no idea what I was going to run into. So we get there, and I was amazed at how the U.S. welcomes people into the U.S. I mean, it's a big deal. It's not anything small and, you know, they just go and get a certificate, but they had this huge room with all these dignitaries from the White House and different places in this room. They had a big 100-people choir in there to sing to them. And then they had some other people that was there that spoke to them and talked to them to welcome them to the U.S. And when I was sitting there watching all this happen, I was like, wow, what an honor. We're born in here, so we don't get to have that. But they all are recognized like that. Well, I say that to say this, that is what God does to us. When we become a citizen of heaven, just imagine that room with all those people in there doesn't even begin to tap in to what God does when we receive Jesus in our heart. It doesn't even begin to tap into that because all the angels start to rejoice. They all come to attention. They're all on their feet and they're just worshiping and they're just honoring us like we have never heard before. And they're so excited that they have another brother or sister that has given their lives totally, completely to the Lord. Now, every man is born with that seed in him, but only God can quicken it. So when you say, Jesus, come into my heart, then that seed that you were born with becomes quickened. And when it becomes quickened and you become a citizen of heaven, oh my God, what a phenomenal time you're in for. I tell you what, when I start having this word first started off, I got the title from Nancy, and I was like, a citizen of heaven? Where's that in the Bible? A citizen of heaven. And I'm like looking in the Bible for citizen of heaven, trying to see where it fits in. So I started to ask the Lord, you're going to have to really, I mean, I know you always help me, Holy Spirit, but I really need your help with this one because I don't even know where to begin. And as he started to talk to me, he started off like this. So I want you to remember this thought through my word. When I shared about what the workshop was going to be about, I was telling you about a sailboat. So this is what he told me. He said, imagine yourself on a huge lake, okay? And there is many sailboats on this lake. But you are one sailboat individually. Each one of y'all individually sailboats. He says, my people need to know what they need to come up to. Because a lot of them are sailboats that are not moving. They're on this water, and they're trying to find the wind. And so I didn't know anything about sailing, so I had to go and look it up. And so what they tell me is that A sailboat has to catch wind, right, in order for it to be impelled to move. And so if another boat, sailboat, gets in your pathway, it can take your wind. And then you're dead in the water. And you can't go anywhere. So in order for you to move again, you have to figure out how to get from behind that boat in order for your sail to catch wind again. So this morning, I want to empower you to catch the wind again. Because we are citizens of God, and a lot of us have lost the wind in our sail. And we need to get that back. Because it is very important that we go forward. Now, some of us lost the wind. Don't think of that in a negative way. Lost it because we have been at this place for so long. It's comfortable. It's doable. I think I'm ministering. I think I'm doing okay. So what's the need of me doing anything else? Oh, my God. There is such an enormous call on every person in this room life that nobody can do but you. And so when you decide that you don't want to move, then you're cheating me out of that part of your life. Because nobody else can influence my life in the way that you can, because you're the only one who can do whatever God has for you to do. So we have to come to a place where we start to ask God every morning. I don't know about you, but I found out as we become seasoned Christians, as you want to say, or get lax in it, we don't pray diligent like we used to when we first became a Christian. And so the Lord spoke to me about 6 months ago, and he says, I've missed you. I said, well, Lord, I pray. I pray every morning. He says, but not like you used to. And I went back, and I started to think about when I left home. I was 17 years old. Started doing missionary work. My husband and I were engaged. He went to Ohio. I went to Minnesota. And so we were separated, even though we were engaged. And so I come from a family of 12. There's 12 children in our family. And my dad and parents are both ministers. But I had never been separated from my family, ever. And so we were a really, really close family. My sister actually took me up there to drop me off with some other people. And I got there, and when she was going to leave, I wanted to run and grab her legs and say, don't leave me up here by myself. I knew nobody there. I mean, there was an acquaintance that my parents knew that I really didn't like, so that was like knowing nobody. So she was like an old friend of my mom's, and I always thought she was really fussy, so it wasn't somebody that I was real close to at that time. And so anyway, as I was sitting there, it's where God began to teach me how to pray. And so every morning I would roll out of my bed. I was on the bottom bunk in a girl's dorm. And the first thing I would do, because I was so scared of missing God, I would roll out the bed and I'd say, Holy Spirit, good morning. Jesus, thank you for living in me. God, thank you for choosing me. Now, what do you have for me today? Don't let me miss anything you have for me today. And that sounds so simple, but as years go on, your prayers get shorter. And we don't think we have it all. But it's just that we don't pray in that desperation, I guess you could call it, like that, like we used to. So I have started every morning getting up again saying, good morning, Holy Spirit. Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross and residing in me. And God, what do you have for me this day? And ever since I have started praying that, I have found out that I have moved from another level than where I was at. The level I was at, I had no idea that I had, stopped moving. But the level I was at was not anymore where I needed to be. So remember to hold on to your shell. I'm going to come back to that in the end. So anyway, I went on, and my scripture text for this workshop is out of Colossians 3, 1 and 2. But I'm going to read to you right now in Philip 1, 27. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of a good news and about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit, one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news in God. So as we go on to be citizen, I came across another nugget since I shared this word. And the nugget is, think of a cow. This is so weird. When God gave me that, a cow. Does everybody know about a cow, right? You ever seen them on the field and they're like, they're just chewing. I mean, it's like they come continuously chewing. Well, this is what I found out about a cow. You may already know this. A cow starts chewing on its on the grass, which becomes its cud, I think they call it. And then he swallows it. And then he regurgitates it back up. And he chews on it again. And then he swallows it. And then he regurgitates it back up. And he chews on it again. And then he swallows it again. And he brings it back up. But this time when he swallows it, it is totally liquefied. And every part of his body can use the nourishment in that he swallowed. So then when you see the cow and you see that gross liquid running out their mouth, it's because everything they have eaten has become liquefied. God said, to be a citizen of heaven, you're going to have to learn how not just to hear the word, but chew on the word. Chew on who I am. You can't just go, even when, like, if you come to a conference like this, it takes a human being, they said, many times to get the substance out of one little simple word. You go back to it and you hear something different. You go back to it and you hear something different. But that is us regurgitating up the word of God. How do you do that and walk around? Okay, so I had just heard this word and I go to Uta after the service and I say, man, Uta, wasn't that a phenomenal word that Nancy shared today? She goes, yeah, I like this part. And we start to commune about this word. I just regurgitated that word back up in my spirit again. So I'm talking about it, and I'm talking about it, and I'm talking about it. Then I'm going to go home to Delta Junction, and I'm going to get in front of my whole church, and I'm going to start telling them about what awesome people I met in the conference. But it was this one lady that shared this word that was so powerful. And I start to share this word with her. There it is again. I'm regurgitating that word back up in my spirit again. Until that word not only is just a word, but it has become part of who I am. And so when I am walking and talking, I don't just walk and talk, but I am what I have behold, what I have heard. I have digested God into my members. And now it's a part of me that nobody can take. Nobody can take. Because once you got a hold of it, nobody can take it. Then I start thinking about men in general. Men, if they get an ideal in their head, this is a good thing. I'm not going to say the bad thing about men. And they know that they know that they know that this is a true statement. And then you come along with something that's totally sounds off the wall to them. You're going to have to prove that statement. They are not going to just say, okay, I got it. Yeah, I can receive that. No. You're going to have to prove that statement to them. whether you walk it out, talk it out, show it to them in writing, and then their intellect is still going to have to catch on to that statement before they actually say, okay, I can consider it. So any of you wives in here that has husbands, or you ladies that have significant others, or been around your dads or any brothers or whatever, you know that's mostly true. No matter how much you try to convince them, the best way is to drop a thought and leave it. And then after a while, they'll think it's their idea. And they'll bring the thought back to you, which was your ideal in the beginning, and they expand on it. Now, the very wrong thing to do is to tell that man, I said that first. Because now you got to start all over again. The best thing you can do is say, honey, that's a great thought. I think we should do that. How do you think we should go about doing that? What do you think we should do? Well, in the Bible, when you're in the spirit, you're walking in the man. That's what I'm getting at. Whether you're female or male, the Bible considers you in the anointing. You're walking in the man. So God gives you a thought and says, you must be born again. What's born again? Tell you that we think like that because, was it Paul says, should I enter back into my mother's womb again? That's in the scripture. So he's questioning the father. See, I can't be born again. Do that mean I crawl back into my mother's womb again? That's how I got to be born again? And God had to start proving himself to him, showing him what he meant about being born again. So we are now citizens of heaven, and we are now required to start acting like citizens of heaven. What is a requirement of a citizen of heaven? You are required to show God, to be that expression of who God is. And you're like, an expression of who God is. Well, the word unique means being the only one of its kind, unlike anything else, belonging or connecting to one, a particular people, or a group of people. That's what the word unique means. This is called a unique citizen of God. The word citizen means a legal, recognized subject, or natural, or state of commonwealth. The origin of it is from the Latin word that I cannot pronounce. I spell it to you, but I can't pronounce it. But it's a Latin word. But it means, and it entails, a privilege. A privilege. See, when God talked to Job, and he said, and the devil came up, God talked to the devil, and the devil went to ask him about Job, what did Job say to God? The devil said to God, he says, you won't let me touch him. You won't let me touch him. But God said to the devil, consider. You go look up that word consider. That means God has you on his mind. Consider. Consider you. Well, when you become a citizen of heaven, God considers you. He has you on his mind 24/7. He does not ever have you out of his thought realm. Because he is interested in seeing you become who he has said for you to become. I was asked the question, but doesn't God already know what you're going to become? He's God. He knows what you're going to become. He knows what you're going to do. Yes, but he also gave you free will. In that free will, he will not go against what you feel. Does he know that if you choose this way, it would be a better way? Yes. Does he know you should choose this way? Yes. Will he make you choose this way? No. It's something that you're going to have to do yourself. So we are endeavoring to become a greater citizen of God by our uniqueness to be made, just as the angel said, who is man that thou art mindful of him? or the Son of Man that thou hast visited him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. Go look up that word angel in your Greek Bible. It says you have made them little gods. Man. The angels that Nancy talked about even tells us all the time, I ask God all the time, why are you so patient with these people that keep messing up? They just keep messing up. And you just keep loving them. And you keep pulling them along. And you keep encouraging them. Why do you do that? Why? Because they're interested in who is these people. Well, we are called to be in the very image of who God is. We are God walking on earth. We are some God. We are a church walking that some people are, you're the only thing they're going to ever see that resembles a church. There's people in this world that's been so hurt by the church, which is sad to say, that they will never step a foot in a building like this, not if they think it's a church. But they'll step a foot in you. They'll come to you. They'll talk to you. They'll ask you. They'll hear you. And their lives will change. Even if they never step a foot in a building. This is just a building. We are the church. We're what make this church a church, not the building. And so when you become a citizen of God, you have to realize you are a walking, talking church walking around in the community or wherever you are. You are it. There is no way you can get around it. And so God himself has said, I have made you like this for this reason. Even though it's a mere mortal, I have looked down and I have saw something valuable in this person, in this citizen. There's a song that we used to sing. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are from above. Set your affections on things on high and not on earth. For you are dead and your life is hid within Christ who is our God. And he shall appear when we shall appear with him in glory. It is the only time that you can get out of Evelyn is that I set my goals higher than Evelyn. And I can do that. So I'm going to tell you a story. I'm in Delta Junction, and I go to the doctor's office. And these are things, since I've been doing this word, I've been really noticing them that's happened to me. So I'm in the doctor's office. I walk in, and the lady said, oh, go on back, and I'm going to have my yearly physical. And when I walk in the room, the doctor says, thank God it's you, Evelyn. And I'm like, huh? And I don't really, you know, he comes through. Delta is like in a very exclusive area, guys. It's like not any place that you would pass every day. If you close your eyes and go through it, you would miss the whole city. Okay? So this guy comes down from Anchorage to give out these physicals and stuff. And I said, oh, my God, do you remember me? He said, yes. He said, you made quite an impression on me the first time I ever met you. He said, how's your husband Lewis doing? And I was like, okay, he does remember me. And so he says, okay. He says, this is my last day here. I'm retiring. And what blessing is it that God brought you as my last patient? I am so blessed that my last person that I'm going to see is going to be you. And I said, why, sir? He said, because of the energy that you have around you. I get to take that home and tell my wife that I had Evelyn Glass as my last patient. I tell my wife about you all the time. And I'm like, Jesus, what did I say to him the first time? I hope it was good, because I can't remember whatever I said to him. I'm just being Evelyn, you know? And so he waits on me and he says, all right, well, I'll send you the results in the mail. And I said, okay. So I go to the front desk, talking about favor. And he says, the nurse comes running out there and she says, no, don't write a bill. And she's like, why not? He said, because the doctor says all her services are free. And I'm like, huh? All my services are free? He says, yeah. He said, he comes out the back room. He says, Evelyn, this is a gift from me. He said, God gave me a gift to have you as a patient. Now, I want to bless you by not letting you know how much I appreciate the power and the anointing you walk in. I didn't even know that the man was that much of a Christian. I, you know, to hear him talk like that, he's never really talked like that to me when I went in for my appointments. So I leave there, and I head up to Fairbanks. I get to Fairbanks, and I'm with my friend, and we're shopping, and we're going through Sam's Club, and we're shopping in Sam's Club. Y'all have a Sam's Club here? Okay, so we're shopping in there. I got all my groceries, and they are all on the counter, and all of a sudden, this guy in front of me, he's like getting his groceries, and he keeps going. And I'm like, is this guy flirting with me? He's old. He was like really old. And so I was like, how you doing, sir? You know, I didn't know what else to say because he kept staring at me. I'm like, how you doing? Having a great day? Oh, I hope you're having a blessed day. He goes, yes, I am. And so he gets his groceries, and you know normally they get their grocery, they get their bill, and they move on, right? He gets his groceries, put them in the cart, and he's standing at the end of the thing. And so the lady says, I need your card. And he goes, no, take my card. And I'm like, I'm sorry, did I put my stuff on the counter beforehand? I'm thinking maybe he has something else he didn't pay for. He goes, no, he goes, put all her groceries on my card. And I'm like, I got a lot of groceries. Are you sure you want to do that? He says, yeah. He goes, I want to pay for your groceries. I don't know what it is about you, but I feel like that I'm supposed to buy your groceries. So I'm going to buy all your groceries. And I was like, my God, I say, what a blessing. He says, see, I knew it was going to be a blessing. That's why I'm buying these groceries. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell my wife, today I got blessed because I bought this lady in the store grocery. He said, look at us walking out here. People are watching us, black lady and white man, black lady and white man. And he's walking, you know, and I'm laughing. I'm like, oh my God, he's such a crack up. I was walking with him and he goes, he's like, well, you have to walk to the door with me. Ooh, and I get to walk with a nice-looking one, too. Come on. Let's go. So we walk up to the gate, and he know because they have to show him the bill. And we show him the bill, and he get out there, and he says, I am not flirting with you. He said, but there is something about you that inspires people to do for you. He says, I am just so blessed that you didn't get freaked out. But that's because he couldn't see the inside. But did you get freaked out and you let me buy your groceries for you? I said, well, I am truly blessed that you bought my groceries. Thank you. I'm actually at a loss for words. I don't really know what to say to you because I've never had anybody do that before like that. So I go on and I'm getting in my car and I'm like, Lord, what is all this? What is happening? What's going on? He said, I do this for all my citizens. Don't you know that? Don't you know that? As you come into more recognizing who you are, people are going to recognize who you are. See, if you don't recognize who you are, people don't know who you are. So if you think that you're just a nobody, people are going to think you're a nobody. You ever heard that thing on television when they said, you can take the ugliest woman in the world, ugly, dress nice. When she gets up in the morning and looks in the mirror could break, she's so ugly. But when she looks in the mirror, she goes, I'm so beautiful. And she just dresses herself up, and she goes out in public, and people never see the ugliness about her. When they look at her, all they see is, she is so beautiful. And you're just like, she is? Man, haven't you ever been around her? Her personality just oozes with beauty. Why? Because she has become what she feels she is. When you become a citizen of God, people are going to see you as a citizen of God. When you start to get to know who you are, people will know who you are. You don't have to go out there and say, I don't go any place I go and say, hi, I'm Evelyn Glass and I'm a pastor. Respect me. I never say that to people. I don't say I'm a worship leader. I don't say I'm a prophet. I don't say any of that stuff. Because the Bible says your gifting will make room for you. You don't have to go out there and be prideful and say I'm this and that and the other. Because who you are will speak much louder than any words you could possibly say to people. Matter of fact, it may even turn people off if you're saying that. Make them not want to be around you, not want to talk to you. But all of a sudden, you open your mouth like Marley. Is that her name, Marley, that spoke yesterday? Just blew my mind. I'm like, we got up here Wednesday night, and everybody was in the line, and Nancy says, okay, you get 15 minutes to tell what your workshop's about. And so everybody was going on their workshops, and when it got to her, she says, well, I think my workshop does speak for itself. And she passed the mic. And we all went, you know. And all these people were just talking in the line, you know, all about their workshop. My attention was automatically drawn to her. It's just what she said. It was just drawn to her. And I thought, I'm going to her workshop. Because that woman's got something to say. I'm going to her workshop. So the days went on, and Thursday night came. We got up, and we all shared about our workshop. And she said a little bit, but she never pointed the attention. I mean, not like anybody else did either, but I'm just saying, the way she talked about her workshop, it wasn't something, oh, I'm going to her workshop. No. That just made me want to go even more. So we came to her workshop, and Lewis and I were sitting back there. And she opened her mouth. And what a treasure box. This woman started to share her heart and started to share about, I think it was hard, uniquely hard, but good. And when she started to share about her workshop, that was all it wrote. It was so, if you don't get on the internet when you can and hear her word, it's that good. She had a very phenomenal word. Uniquely hard but good. But to look at her, her quietness, her stand backness, not pushing herself out front, you would have never knew when she opened her mouth, volumes was going to come out like that. Okay? And not that I'm saying you got to be quiet, because everybody doesn't have that. Some people have that shabakness about them where they just get up and they talk. Believe it or not, I used to be quiet. I know y'all don't believe that, but I was very, very, very quiet till I met Lewis. And he made me start talking more. I mean, when I got married to him, when he'd leave, I would call him on the phone and said, we're out of bread. Should I go buy some? And he would get so mad at me, he'd say, no, sit at home and starve. Because he was like, babe, you have the money. You have the checkbook. Go do what you do. But it wasn't that, I don't know why. I just wanted to, you know, because in your mind, your parents are always drilling you, conversation, commune, keep that straight. So I'm thinking, you know, well, I need to make sure he knows I'm spending money. I need to make sure. Well, I was going way overboard. And so God had to teach me. He would come and he would pull it out of me. I don't think I was quiet. I was really quiet. And when I met Nancy now, I wanted to run out the door because they were very loud. And they was doing that weird laughing stuff that people do in the spirit. And then, you know, get hit by the spirit. And there was nothing funny. And I was looking around thinking, something's desperately wrong with them women. And I'm staying as far away from them as I can. And so I'm sitting on my seat, and she came in there, and she started giving her testimony, and she started saying, now I want somebody from the crowd to come up here and give their testimony. And I'm sitting there, well, I ain't going up there, that's for sure. Especially not after that. Her testimony was phenomenal. Mine's all of a sudden went from like this to like this, you know. She goes, how about you? Why don't you come here? I'm like, what is wrong with her? Don't you see all over my face that says, don't bother me? And I come up front because I was taught to be obedient. She's a pastor. So I came up front and I start opening my mouth, and things start coming out of my mouth. I am not kidding. That I know was not me. I didn't even like to work with women because I thought they were too fussy. Just give me the kids. I like the kids. Just make me a youth pastor for the rest of my life. Don't ever put me over women. And she was looking for a president over a globe. And at that time, it was all women. I'm like, no way, Jose. That's just a problem waiting to happen. So I sat there in that meeting, and I got done, and I went to my seat, and a lady behind me leaned up and said, God, let me listen to your thoughts. I said, these people are weird. I know I should have ran out that door. And I was like, okay, all right. She's like, you're going to be the president. I got instantly mad. I'm not kidding. I'm just being honest. She's right. I did. I got instantly mad. I get in the truck with Lewis, and the first thing he says was, did you enjoy the meeting? Did you enjoy all the women? And I'm looking at him like, shut up. And he's like, you're probably going to be president, aren't you? I'm like, are you seriously kidding me right now? What is this? And so, you know, I didn't talk all the way to Anchorage, and that's 8 hours. That's a lot for a woman. I didn't talk because I knew he wanted to commune with me about this glow stuff, and I wasn't having it. And God worked on me. And he says, you need women because it will soften you. I was a tomboy when I grew up. He said, you need them. Do you know women are the only species in the whole world that has an enzyme in their body that they need other women to activate? So when you see these women that are pulled off by themselves and they're very integrated, that's why. When their husbands don't let them be with other people, other women, or nobody, they just keep them off to themselves. It's because they need what we need each other. We need each other. For if nothing else, to talk, because men don't like us to talk. They like us to get to the point. They like to say, okay, honey, I went to the store today and I bought this dress, and I have all sons and a Lewis. So all this testosterone lives in my house. And when I come home and want to tell the big stories, they're all going, come on, can you just get to the point? Can you get to the point? And then I found out years later, Lewis would be behind the boys where I can't see him, going, shut up. Just let her talk. Let her talk, you know? And they told me this when they got grown. It was like, yeah, Dad, you used to always make us talk. I said, all the time, I thought y'all was interested. And they go, mm-mm. But Dad said, you need to listen to Mom. She needs to get that out. She needs to talk. It is not going to hurt y'all to listen to Mom. And they even now today come to him and say, how did you do that? Because our wives just... And you sit there and you're just for hours like this, oh, Mom, when she's talking. He said, it's a learned effort. He said, but if you learn it, you'll also learn how to listen to the Father. He said, because a lot of times God says things you don't want to hear. And you need to get quiet and get patient and listen to the voice of the Father, what he says. Now that we're citizens of God, who do we need to listen to more than anything else? The Father. Why do we need to listen to him? Because he says, I only go where the Father says go. I only do what the Father says do. I only say what the Father says. Can you do that and say that without listening? No, you cannot. Now, another thing he dropped in my heart. The scripture in the Bible that says, it's in Psalms 19:14. And it says, Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Okay, that's what God tells us. That word meditate means to think about it, what you're saying before you say it. Lots of us look at that word and look at God, and we think that God is not paying attention to every word we say. Well, I'm finna make you accountable. Do you realize everything that comes out of your mouth, God jots down? The good, the bad, and the ugly. And when you come before the judgment seat of God, all that stuff is on the page. And you better hope that your good outweighs your bad. Because right now, as citizens of God, as citizens of heaven, God is calling in the tab. And he's saying to us, meditate before you talk. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. Because I am speaking, but I am not a God that will lie or that would deliberately hurt or that deliberately wound. I'm not that God. So if you're not meditating on what you're saying, you will be judged for it. The good thing is, God says, you can ask me to edit your tape. That's where forgiveness comes in. When you go to God and you say, God, you know what? I really messed up that day. I want to come back and ask for your forgiveness. Because as a citizen of heaven, I'm not allowed to talk like that and get away with it. I need to watch what I say and what I do. Because I want your blessing, God. And I don't want you to look at me and turn away from me because I have did so much and I have not fixed it. As a citizen of heaven, God is not tolerating that anymore, at least for me. I don't know if you feel like that or not, but that's how I feel. I feel like God is telling me, Evelyn, that I need to go fix it. Even to like something as simple as I had a friend over before we left and I was helping her do some things and I said something to her and I looked at her face and I could tell whatever I was saying to her was not sitting right with her. Instead of me fixing it, I was like, she'll get over it. And she left and went home, and God would not let me sleep. The Holy Spirit would not let me sleep. It was a very small thing. And I got up that next morning, and I called her, and I said, could I come over and talk to you today? And she's like, sure. So I went over there, and she was waiting for me to come over there. She was thinking, oh, my God, now what she's going to chew me out about. Oh, my God, now what she's going to say to me. Because all she could think about is what I said to her the day before. That she did not understand. And instead of me looking at her countenance and knowing she's not getting it, I was like, she'll get over it. She'll get it. And so I went back to her and I said, I just want to let you know I am so sorry for what I said to you yesterday because I knew you weren't getting it and I didn't take the time to explain it to you. So I wanted to come to you, and before I could get it out of my mouth, she burst into tears. And I started explaining to her what I really meant, it wouldn't have took me 5 seconds to do that the day before. But because we get so callous in our thinking, we don't think that way anymore. Well, God is saying, that time is up. He says, I come for your words. What do you think that means? When God says, I come for your words, what do you think that means? That means he is listening to everything you say and everything you do and how you treat people. And he is making that accountable unto you. Because as citizen of heaven, you have to conduct yourself as a citizen of heaven. That means you have to be mindful. That does not mean you need to get all mushy and start moving in emotions. It's a difference between compassion and emotion. Okay? Compassion is what Jesus moved in. Emotion is what we move in a lot. You know, somebody could get up here and start crying and have the most terrible word in the world, and all the women in the room would start crying because she's crying. Oh, my God, she's crying. And you'd be like, and you know, God. And I was like, yes, I know. I can relate. I can relate. And later on, you would think about it, and you're like, what was you crying for? I don't know, but, you know, it was such a tearjerker. She was just crying her eyes out because we've been a people that let our emotions rule us. Can't do that as a citizen of God anymore. Sounds harsh, but it's not harsh. It's God. It's honesty. When I first met Sharon, I'm going to pick on Sharon. She don't care if I pick on her. When I first met Sharon, she got off the plane in New Zealand. I had not set eyes on her. All those guys thought I knew her. I didn't know who she was. And so we had spelled out the word for everybody when they got off the plane. And so we spelled out the word point to hope with our body. You know, we do silly things. We spelled out the word point to hope with our bodies so that everybody could feel welcome when they got off the plane. So Sharon gets off. She walked right past me. I didn't even know who she was. So she just kept walking. And then when she came back and I was like, who is that? She's on our team. Oh, that's Sharon. Don't you know Sharon? I'm like, no. And so we all end up staying in the same house together. Sharon is of your generation. I mean, she's of the new generation. I call it that. She's of, you know, we're the more mature in the generation. She's the generation coming up, very empowered. And they have a filter, but it ain't like our filter. Because they tell you how a T.I. is. In love, but they're very honest and direct. That's what I love about her. I don't have to think what she's thinking because she will tell me, but she tells me in love. And we older, mature people, we like to talk to people and go around Christmas to get to New Year's. And then when we do be honest to each other, we get mad because that person was honest. And then we go home and God have to calm us down and say, okay, didn't you want the truth? Well, yeah, but they could have said it better than that. Not as citizens of God. God's not going to let us move in our emotions like we used to. Compassion, yes. Emotional, no. Why? Because our emotions will betray us. It really will. It will make us not be honest when someone needs us to be blatantly honest. And they're looking for that. This generation is coming up before us is a generation that is saying, I want truth. I want truth. I want it walking, talking truth. And this is the generation that God has called us to minister to. All of us and them together, we are phenomenal. That's the way I feel about it. I can't do it without them, and they can't do it without me. I love working with the youth. You know why? Because they're so honest. If I come to church and have on, when I was over the youth group, I thought I was looking so cute one Sunday, come to church, have my little skirt on. I thought I was looking cute, and one of the girls from the group came up right before I'm getting ready to do worship and pulls me off to the side and said, next Sunday, don't wear them stockings. And I'm like, why? Didn't you look in the mirror before you came to church? I'm like, are you seriously talking about my stockings now before I go up front? And they was like, well, they're like, your stockings look like you're a white girl by the legs and you're a black girl up top. I'm like, huh? Are you seriously telling me that? So, of course, you know, you're up front leading worship and you almost want to go like this because you don't want anybody to look at your stockings. And they're all standing in the back and it was like, I mean, you're a pass because nobody else will probably notice it. But we just letting you know. I don't know why your husband didn't tell you. He wasn't looking at you close enough. But this was my youth group. I learned to listen to them. They're. So needless or not, they went in the garbage when I went home. I never wore them again. But blatantly honest. And they love me. And I know they love me. I have no doubt in my heart that they love me. But this is the generation that God is saying we need to come in contact with. Upfront, personal, and truthful. When you want somebody to be truthful to you, didn't hand you a whole bunch of stuff, and then you hear through the divine grapevine that they really didn't think that at all. Citizens of heaven. It says, God would edit your tape, which he will. And why must we watch our words? Because he said, ask before you speak. Think before you asked. And meditate before you blank it out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Go before God, go before the Spirit, and you must ask God, talk to God, talk to yourself, know what you're going to say, think about the way you're saying it before you said it. That's why Jesus could say, I only say what the Father says. I only do what the Father tells me to do, and I only go where the Father tells me to go. Because this is a time you better know the Father has said go. Too dangerous a time to be out there and not be covered. Too dangerous. And you better know he told you to say that he said, because he's the only one that can cover you. He's the main. Nobody can bother you if God has told you to go. I am so aware that I have angels with me, it is not even funny. And there are more now than not. Lewis can tell you, I was in my room sick one day, and I went to fall, and I almost hit the corner of my table right here. And I noticed, God knows I'm not lying, I noticed that I wasn't touching the floor. I started doing this, and I happened to look like this, and there was somebody holding me. It kept me from hitting that edge of the table. And actually, it scared me. I'm not going to say it. And I went, oh, an angel. No, I did not. I went, holy Jesus. Somebody's holding me. And I looked at them, and they went, and I went. And then they just set me down, and they moved back. It was like they moved back into something. I don't know what. I was scared to get up off the floor, so I crawled to the bathroom. I kept looking back. I was like, what? Really? I've never had them show themselves like that, you know, like really experience that. I read about it in the Bible, but I didn't know that they would really do that to me. Or I've been on the bed and I'm just so tired and I'm exhausted and I get up because I'm sick. Well, I got to go down to church. No, you don't. Because we make the church a job. And I needed to rest that day. And I felt this gentle hand just go poof and push me back into bed. And I look around, there's nobody in the room. And I said, did you just push me back into bed? Wow. Okay, I guess I stay here because I don't want you showing yourself like in front of me right now. I'm here by myself. And the whole room just filled up with this incredible peace. Just incredible peace. I know my house is covered. God has shown me that. I know that there's angels all over the place. I know that because he's shown me that. But I tell you what, now that I am recognizing not just when I get up and do worship, I don't know how to do anything else but to get out of Evelyn. I just don't know how to do anything else. Because worship is not something that I'm assigned. It's who I am. When I wake up in the morning, songs are going through my head. When I'm going to bed at night, songs are going through my head. I feel like my head is a Rolodex. You can start singing a song and it seems like my head goes flip, 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 flip. Oh, yeah, I know that song. And I can tell you the words to it. Sometimes it's a hindrance because you go in a store and you don't forget the words to, I met a woman in Reno just to watch her die. Ha ha, you don't want to remember them words. But the songs that are playing because of that anointing that God has given me to take in music, I take in music. It's almost like I need a filter for the music. But when you become a citizen of God, start asking God, what is your portion? What has he assigned you to? I can't wait to see what Nancy was talking about, you being a pastor. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to see what you're going to do. It's going to be phenomenal. Phenomenal. But I'm telling you, if you want to be a citizen of God, you have to get out of yourself and get into God. Now, when we become citizens, all heaven is rejoicing at who we are. Do you ever hear the heavens rejoice over you? If not, listen a little closer. Go on the front porch. I went on my front porch, and I literally got quiet. When I say got quiet, my mind got quiet. My spirit got quiet. I just closed my eyes. I wasn't asking questions. I just sat there, and all of a sudden, a bird flew past, and I could literally hear their wings. That's quiet. Go past me. Just go past me. I could hear the branches on the trees crackling. That's quiet. Because when you get in your quiet place before God, that's how quiet he wants you to get. So you can hear his voice. See, God is always talking. We're just so loud we can't hear him. But he's always, always, always talking. Always. And he said, I reign on the just as well as the unjust. So just because you may not be at the level you think you want to be at, well, God doesn't talk to me. Yeah, he does. You just don't hear him. Or you think it's your own thought. You know, like, you know, the simplest way you tell people, you ever been driving down the street and all of a sudden for no untold reason you feel to put on brakes and then here comes a car. And if you had not stopped, you'd have got ran over. Or in Alaska, you hear to stop and you stop because if you don't stop, that moose is going to come in the car with you. Because you be driving down the road and all of a sudden they decide, I think I'm going to the other side. Boom, boom. And they're on the road. And they are huge. And they do not have respect for you. They'll get on the road and they're subject to turn around and look at you like, hey, I had this road before you ever got here. And you built on my territory. So I'm going to take my time and walk across this road. And you got to sit there and wait because they won't move. But if you're not listening, because at night they jump on the road too. And don't think bears don't. Bears come up on the road too. Depends on where you live at. But you have the two-legged people and the deers that come up on the road. But now God is saying to us, I want you to be quick to listen, slow to speak, meditate. Meditate. You are the most unique people in the world. We are. We are the most unique people that God has made. We are the highest of the food chain. We are. We're so good. God let us name all creation. That's what our forefathers did. And now it's back on us again. So what are you going to do with it? You can either be a citizen of God and you can go on to the next level that God has for you, or you can sit there on your pews in your church and say, well, I'm just going to wait till the next word come forth next Sunday, and then that'll fill me up. And you go home and you don't chew on it. And you don't digest it. So by midweek, it's gone. And then you fall into something and you wonder. First thing we want to say is, why didn't God tell me? Well, he told you Sunday, but you didn't chew on it. He warned you it was happening, but you didn't hear it. He spoke to you to move, but you didn't feel like it. Because he's forever speaking and he's forever moving. So how many of us already become citizens of heaven? That's what God wants us to know. How many of us are ready to become citizens of heaven? And all the prejudiceness that we have, you say, I'm not prejudiced. Prejudice is not just about color. That's the other thing God told me. He says, not just about color, Evelyn. He said, my people have become very prejudiced to the fact that my husband ministered one Sunday. And I'm going to close. And he said, if God's pouring out his favor and he's using the unrighteous to pour it out on the righteous, right? He said, what if somebody came up to you and gave you a whole bunch of money? You was crying out for money, and all of a sudden this money landed in your lap. And then you found out later that this guy was a drug dealer. So your mind went, I'm not taking drug money because that's dirty money. He said, okay, think beyond that. That drug dealer came to your church to deliver you a gift. Because maybe that drug dealer needs saved. You save that drug dealer. You have saved how many people from selling drugs? How many people from dying? We don't think that way. We think, oh, my God, they're a drug dealer, and they're so bad, and oh, my God, and that's dirty money, and I wonder how many blah, 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 blah. God's trying to change our thinking. Because if Jesus thought that way, he would not have ate with Zacchaeus. He told Zacchaeus to come down out the tree, and he was horrible. The whole town hated him. The whole town was mad at Jesus because he ate with the tax collector. And we can't even go one step further. Oh, my God, don't let a woman like the woman at the well walk in our church. All our noses would be up in the air. Instead of going, how you doing? Sister, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so blessed that you came to our church today. What can I do to help you today? Because God says you're going to win them by your testimony and your love. He didn't say you're going to win them by your nose turned up in the air and judging them. He said by your testimony and your love. If you're a citizen of heaven, you got to start changing your mindset. Because citizens of heaven is going to have a lot of people to bring in. And they're not going to be people that we would normally hang out with. We all start hanging out with each other. Who are we going to save? We can only save each other so many times. Okay? We need to get out of the box and get into God. And when God says go, go. You open your mouth, I guarantee you, he'll speak for you. You'll know exactly what to say. You know exactly what to do. Bless my heart. She came in the bathroom the other day when I was getting ready to for service. And she walked up to me and started talking. Just bless my, you have no idea how much I needed to hear that at that point. And she was just being herself. And she just came in. She's like, oh, I just wanted to. She goes, what's your name? She goes, because I want to sign up for you out there. And I couldn't remember what your name was. Okay, you know, we don't do that. We go, what's that lady's name over there? You see that lady over there in that black? What's her name? Yeah, that one, that one. What's her name? Why? Because we don't have the gumption to go up to you and say, hey, how you doing? You know, I know you told me your name, but I want to know your name again, okay? That spoke to me. You know why? Because she moved out of her comfort area to come to somebody she didn't even know. I don't live here. and say, what's your name? I want to come and hear you speak. I need to know your name. And we just started a conversation in the bathroom, and we started talking, and she was telling me a little about her life. And I'm telling you, now her face is etched in my brain. And I'm going to think about her when she goes into something, believe it or not, and this does happen. I can be at home. I may not even remember your name, but I remember your face. And when God brings your face before me, I will be praying. Why? Because she took the time to step out of the box to get into somebody else's life. That's what we got to do. We're going to be citizens of heaven. That's what citizens of heaven do. That's what they do. Is it scary? Shouldn't be. That's what you said you're called to. That's what you signed up for. Signed up to be like Jesus. He spoke to some pretty hairy, dairy people. He spoke to leopards. He could have got a disease. Jesus, don't let us walk into a place with a disease. We'll have on a mask and gloves and a coat and make sure they stay a distance. Humble from over here. Because Lord, help me if I touch you. I'm going to get that. Not if I'm walking in God. Not if God tells me to go to you. God has already protected me. He's already covered me. And no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper. No weapon. Grab a hold to those scriptures. They are your armor. The Bible is full of armor. There is no circumstance or situation you're going to find yourself in as a citizen of heaven that God does not have a word in the Bible to help you through it. There is not one. Everything you go into, God got something there to help you out of it. And there's no sense of being depressed with all that joy in the Bible. It's not of God. Every kid in school, they want to put on Ritalin and all this other stuff because they're active. And a lot of them, they're finding out they really didn't need all that stuff. It's just that the teacher didn't feel like dealing with all that activeness. We are called. We are chosen. And God is pulling in the kingdom. Aren't you excited about that? So excited about who I am becoming. And you know what? I don't ever want God to stop teaching me. I don't ever want to stop learning. And I don't ever want to think that I only can learn from one phase of people. I want God to keep me so open. And so when I go over to New Zealand, I met some pretty awesome women on their worship team. We met some pretty awesome women in the midst when we was over there. And they talk like Crocodile Dundee. They really do. It's amazing. They kept saying, no worries, Mom. And every time they would say that, I can't say it like them, I just start laughing because it was so funny. And I'm telling you, this is our time for us to expand. I thought something was going wrong with me because I'm telling you, since I've been ministering this word, I have been finding myself not as emotional as I used to be. And so I thought something was wrong with me. I thought I was getting too hard or something. Or I find myself speaking forth stuff that I would not normally just say to somebody. But in love. And I'm like, this is a side of Evelyn I didn't even know existed. I'm finding Evelyn. I'm finding the true Evelyn, who I was born to be. It says that song, it says, I was born to be your dwelling place. That's what we were all born to be, a dwelling place for the Lord. God wants to bring us, take away the prejudiceness, take away everything we have in it, and bring us to a better place. Any questions or thoughts? Oh, I do have one thing I want to tell you. So, you've been keeping your mind on that sailboat? Now I'm going to tell you why I told you that. Now, in case you didn't figure out about the sailboat, God is the wind, which empowers us. Christ is the sail, which inspires us. And the Holy Spirit is the motivation, which moves us. Let me say that again. God is the wind, which empowers us. Christ is the sail, which inspires us. And the Holy Spirit is the motivation, which moves us. So if you're finding yourself in the water and you have no wind, what have you let steal your wind? What have you let stepped in front of God in your life? That's what you got to ask yourself. Bring it back home to you and say, God, who have I let stepped in front of you that took away my wind? Christ, why aren't you filling up my sails? Because God is moving. Have you noticed? God is moving. And if you want to know if God's moving, all you got to do is turn on the news. If the devil is moving, God's moving very much swifter. Because he's a copycat. He tries to bring havoc when God's bringing good. So God is moving like never before. And we are the people he wants to move through. We are a chosen generation, a holy nation. We are that people. And God is wanting to move through us like never before. Wouldn't you agree? God wants to move through us. And he's not a respecter of age. He called Samuel when he was really little kid. I was on the plane coming here. And there was a little three-year-old girl sitting on this side of me. And her brother was sitting on the other side, his grandma. And I was sitting on the plane. And I wanted to sit by Lewis, and this man sitting beside him told him, well, you don't get everything you want, so I'm not letting your wife sit here. And so we were sitting on the plane, and I ended up sitting by this couple that was Christians, too. So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, this little three-year-old leans across and taps me on my arm. And I said, hi, what is your name? She said, London. I said, well, that is really cute. She goes, yes, Jesus loves you. And she starts singing to me. I am not kidding. She sang the whole song to me. And when I would look away from a minute, she would tap me again, like, I'm not done. What you looking away for? And she tapped me on the arm. She goes, because the Bible tells me so. That's for you. On the plane. I'm on the plane. And this little three-year-old singing to me. It was awesome. Awesome. I looked at her grandmother. She had this great big smile on her face. And she was like, she never does that. Seriously, she never does that. She doesn't talk to people. I thought to myself, but I'm a different person. Because I'm a citizen of heaven. Man, I just drawed. What did Jesus say? Suffer the little children to come unto me. Jesus is in me, so that means little children is going to want to come to me, right? So, amen. Ready.